Welcome to the Friday Night Clive podcast with me, Clive Payne. In this podcast, we look back at the amazing charities, organisations and people we have chatted to over the past few months, all of whom have interesting and important stories to tell. 18 organisations across the West Midlands recently received the prestigious King's Award for Voluntary Service, which recognises the contribution of volunteers in local communities. And we've talked to a number of them over the more recent weeks. Continuing our discovery tonight, I'm joined by Michelle Smith, who is the team leader of the Champions Community Trust, and she's live on the line in the Alps. Good evening, Michelle.
Good evening, Clive. Yes, in the Alps.
What's it like? What you might not at all. You're very welcome. What's it like in the Alps tonight? Apart from probably dark.
Dark, cold. very beautiful.
What temperatures have you got there at the moment?
Well, where I am at the moment, it's quite warm actually. It's about 2 degrees. But where we've been all day with the children and my husband, because it's his 40th birthday, that's why we're here, It's been kind of -5, so yeah.
Oh, it makes me shiver just thinking about it. But, I hope you're having a lovely time. Congratulations to everybody at the Champions Community Trust for receiving the King's Award for Voluntary Service this year. Tell me about the Trust and the work that you all do.
The Trust came about a couple of years ago. It became a trust. It's been in itself running for about 9 years. I came about to lead the actual group probably about 6 years ago. And actually, not long after that, as we all know, COVID hit. Mm-hmm. And we kind of thought, well, we need funding, we need help. We need to make it kind of more official than sort of a helping group. So we formed a trust and we became the Champions Community Trust. And we called it a community trust, Clive, because we didn't want it to be a soup kitchen, but essentially we were feeding people. And the reason that we were feeding people was because we believed that people couldn't hear good advice while they were hungry. So if we fed them, then we could help them. To make some different choices, different life changes, and we've seen some phenomenal results, and that's been really, really encouraging.
It's an interesting point you make, and I hadn't thought about that people don't hear good advice when they're hungry, because when we're hungry, we're never really ourselves, are we?
No. We hear the term, don't we? My daughter said it today. I can't talk to you now, Mum. I'm hungry. she was hungry and she was angry. but it's a really sad world, you know, that we live in, Clive, where even on our front door, many families, genuinely, and particularly the Dudley Borough, they're just struggling right now. Mm. And it's not just food, actually. It is also loneliness, mental health. You know, we do spend a lot of time with people that have addictions, and there's a huge stigma attached with that. But we've met people and we understand why those things happen. Some terrible stories that we've come across, Clive, people that have seen, you know, their own children die, or, you know, just terrible tragedies in their lives that have led them to make, you know, perhaps poor decisions. Mm-hmm. But actually, they desperately don't want to be in that place. So we want to help them. We also have lots of referrals from places like child, adult and children's services. Lots of schools get in touch with us, with families that are struggling, particularly at Christmas, I think, coming up, you know. Mm-hmm. There are a lot of families that are kind of going to choose between, do we have that great Christmas dinner that a lot of us take for granted, or do I get my children those gifts that perhaps they help them to fit in, really. It's not even just that they want, but it helps them to fit in at school, because of course there's no free school meals while they're off school, so that also has such a massive impact.
What other help do you provide, as well as you say, ostensibly feeding people?
Well, we do have some incredible volunteers on my team. Some of that has been strategic. So I have people on my team that work with housing. So if we do have anybody that kind of, you know, is in the genuine sense homeless, we're able to point them in the right direction. We also work with the council, so we work with voluntary services. So anything that we can offer them in terms of fuel, support for, you know, gas and electric and things like that. But also we help them with things like CVs, helping them to find jobs. We partner with lots of other organisations that do incredible work that helps them to get on their feet. And we have really seen a change in the numbers that we've had. At the beginning, when COVID first hit, for example, we were going out to sort of 350 families across Dudley Borough. It became incredible, really. We're just a small, tiny outfit of a few people, you know. But now we've seen people say, you know, thank you for your help, and actually we're on our feet because we've been able to point them in the right direction of support they can get that's available from the government or the council or just local groups that are able to help them think about things differently, help them budget differently, help them understand how to cook properly, those kind of things. And, you know, you're amazed that people just don't have somebody to talk to. That's really the truth.
When you say you're a small unit, per headcount, that is probably true, but I wouldn't consider it like that, because you're having a massive, massive positive impact.
Well, do you know, Clive, the truth is, we all come willingly every week, giving up time, and I am so blessed to be able to lead this incredible, quite phenomenal group of people. They pay for their own fuel when they're delivering. You know, often the cooks will come and they've paid for the meal for that week. I mean, their hearts are so towards people, you know, making a difference. But there are, when I say small, there's only a few of us, in as much as I think we have about 30 volunteers in total at the moment, which might sound a lot, but actually, when you think about, you know, collecting 200 loaves of bread from the amazing Warburtons. They give us free bread every week. I absolutely can't praise them enough. I mean, they're so generous. You know, Morrison's, they've helped us so much. They give us food that we're able to give out to people and give them some shopping every week. And there's a lot of running around. There's a lot of shopping. There's a lot of kind of encouraging people to support us, really, you know. But It's just a privilege, Clive, really, to be able to give something back. My own story, personally, I spent some time homeless myself. And so I feel I really understand what it feels like. And we try to say to people, this is just a chapter in your life. It isn't the full story. And actually, we want to get you through this. There's no shame in asking for help at all. Because actually, like, my life now is quite different. And if I hadn't relied on people, or had beautiful people come alongside me and helped me, I might not be in the situation I'm in now.
Yeah, it's the sort of thing you can look back, and it was probably a very challenging and very unpleasant time in your life, but, you know, maybe there was, you know, a hidden meaning, a hidden reason for it to happen.
Absolutely.
Who knows? I mean, one of the things that you touched on earlier is mental health issues, and we hear so much about this these days, because people, thankfully, are talking more, although there are still people who, you know, who choose not to or can't bring themselves to do so. Where people do talk to you about mental health issues, or you identify that, how can you support them?
Yeah, so we do put them in touch with various organisations. It depends what sort of level of mental health difficulties people are having. We have lots of people, actually, that have phoned me in the middle of the night. They feel suicidal. You know, actually, very often, all they really want is someone to talk to. People are lonely. They want someone to talk to. Or they're struggling because they don't understand. Perhaps it can be really insignificant in sort of a general view. You know, a letter can have come and they don't understand the letter, and it's taking them over the edge. And so we're able to say, bring your post, bring your letters, let's make some phone calls with you, we can sort that out. You know, death, okay, we can talk to people. And when we talk to people, actually, you know, a lot of companies are very reasonable, but they just need that kind of person to say, this is a situation, this is where people are at. If we can't help ourselves, we definitely do not try to. It's really important that people get the proper support and help they need. And so we put them in touch with the right organisations to do that, you know.
But the first step, as you say, is talking. And
definitely,
it's not something that we're very good at doing. But talking about it, first of all, is so important because it makes you feel better. The problem may not necessarily immediately go away, but to actually talk it through with somebody, that is absolutely key.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, there's that little phrase, isn't there, guys, that a problem shared is a problem halved.
Yes.
And although it's kind of flippantly used, it's really, really poignant. People come in to have a hot meal with us on a Tuesday evening, and what we find, we call them family, and we call them guests, and we give them credit, and we hopefully give them a sense of belonging. And it's really important because it enables them to feel they can trust us, which they can, but then to talk to us, they also are able to see that we have been through difficult situations ourselves. We try to be very real with them. You know, they might see us, you know, arrive in our lovely cars or, you know, dressed as we might be, but that isn't our full story. And so we're able to share that. And I think when you share your story with somebody, they feel much more inclined that they can trust and share their story with you. And then we can try to get to the heart of it, you know.
Mm. What does your recent King's Award for Voluntary Service mean to the Trust?
I mean, it is phenomenal. Everybody is very excited, obviously. But really what it meant to us was that we felt we were in the right direction. You know, you do what your heart says, but to be acknowledged, it was less about us and more about putting it on the map. And then hopefully more people will be able to support us. And if I'm totally honest, that's really what we're hoping for from the award. We're hoping that more people will see what we do and be able to support us, because we rely entirely on people donating, and it can be a struggle. So we hope that it puts the name out of the trust, allows people to understand a little bit more about what we do, and either volunteer with their time or volunteer with finance, or even if somebody sort of donates a couple of tins of food a week, that is so helpful. Mm-hmm. Nothing goes wasted, you know. So the award itself, what an honour. I mean, it really is an honour. But the relevance of it for us is that it puts us on the map and brings us to life. Like talking to you tonight, that's really very important for us.
How did you keep it secret from your volunteers? Because, as you know, you do have to keep these things under wraps until the right time.
I did. It's very difficult for me, Clive. I'm a chatterbox, as you can tell. it was very difficult. It was very difficult. And particularly some of my volunteers are family, so that was even more of a challenge.
Oh, crumbs, right.
But I knew that when the announcement was made, it would be it would very much be worthwhile having kept it a secret. So yes, it was a challenge. I did tell my husband. We had a good chat. I was able to talk to him about it. But really, yes, it was probably the biggest secret I've ever had to keep.
So how are you funded, Michelle? Because as you say, you're relying on people donating, you know, food and things, but I guess people are donating financially as well. But do you get any other funding through either funding bids or anything else that you can do to survive, really?
We do apply for funding bids, but it is very interesting in the way funding works.
Mm.
So for charities, it very much depends on where you are at the time. So sometimes a lot of the funding is available if you're in the youth sector or if you're, you know, in a particular sector. And for us, we have found that quite challenging. It is one of the reasons we became a trust, because before that, if you're not a trust or a charity, that in itself brings issues. But we've relied very much on people donating. So, like currently, we have a text to donate that's going out for Christmas, and we just encourage people to support us in every way we can. We have a Facebook page. We just, you know, as I say, I think, you know, there's probably more we can do, but every single volunteer works full time. Mm. Every volunteer literally kind of does this as an add-on to their very busy lives, so it can be a challenge. But we do have some support. The Council Voluntary Services, they've been very kind to us and provided us some funding a couple of times. That's really been very helpful. And we try to say to people that actually, to feed a person for one meal, we do that for £3.
Gosh.
That's a meal and a dessert. So something like sticky toffee pudding and custard and a chicken
You're making
dinner.
Me hungry
We
now.
Managed to do that for £3. Yeah. But, you know, if people are sort of thinking, what can I do? I've got a fiver. That's amazing. We can do a lot with that, you know.
That's so. Right. And even if you, when you go to, you know, to the supermarket, if you get a, you know, a bog-off deal kind of thing, why not consider donating the free item to yourselves, for example, because obviously
exactly.
you'll make good use
exactly.
of that, you know.
Yeah.
And so where are you based, so. Michelle?
So we're a bit nomadic, to be honest, Clive. At the moment, the beautiful people at St Michael's Church in Briley Hill have allowed us to use their building. So we've been using that probably for about a year now.
They're lovely people there, actually.
Oh, beautiful people. Very kind, very generous. But we've been all over the place before that. So for nine years, we kind of move wherever somebody will put up with us. Yeah, I mean, I had a beautiful conversation with the mayoress of Dudley, and she's an amazing, amazing lady. And we're really trying to sort of make a difference by taking a council building that perhaps isn't being used right now and turning that into something that maybe can be self-funding, you know, rent it out to parties and then use the money to self-fund the charity. So we're looking into things right now. But at the moment, as I say, we're at St Michael's in Briley Hill. But we're Dudley Borough-based, and that's what's important, really.
Now, my producer's left me a note, and he says, ask about the fundraising ball. So you've done that this year, have you?
Do you know we had to cancel the ball?
Did you?
It was really sad. Yeah, there were many reasons for that. We did do a ball previous, and then we tried to do another ball, but we had to cancel it. But there will be another ball coming up, for certain. We held it, I think, in Rowley Regis, and it was brilliant. We had lots of real lot of fun. We did auctions, and we did it in joint. Actually, we did it joint with Morrison's and the charity that they support. And so it was fantastic night. But yeah, definitely look out for that. There will be another one on the horizon.
We'll have to
sure.
get you back on the programme nearer the time of the ball, and you can come on and
great.
Talk all about that. That will be lovely. Where
that
can we find out more information then, Michelle?
So essentially, we've got a Facebook page, Champions Trust Facebook page. We also align ourselves to Champions Church. There's a church in Netherton called Champions Church. And if you go on their website, we've got a page on there as well. But yeah, definitely Facebook is a place where we post things on a daily basis, and you'll find out what's going on, all the text to donate and all the information. And it's also, really importantly, if you are in need, if you get onto that Facebook page, you will get in touch with us and we will be able to reach out to you.
Is there a phone number people can call Michelle if they're not on the internet, for example, or not a Facebook
yes,
user?
Yes, quite genuinely, Clive, they can use my mobile phone number.
Okay.
And people think I'm a little bit crazy, but honestly, I feel so passionate about people, it's no problem. So,
are you happy to give me that number
now? Am I
allowed
to give my number out?
Yes, by all
yes,
means, if you wish.
Yes, my number is 07976-761689. So that's 07976. 761689. Drop me a text, give me a call, whatever, absolutely. We just want to take your information and make sure that we can help you, or in fact call me if you can help us. That would be marvellous.
Yes, great. With donations, or I mean, are you looking for volunteers at the moment?
We're always looking for volunteers, yeah, because really, because people give so much of their time, the more volunteers, the less each volunteer has to do, and we like to try and share the load. But at Christmas, we've got a few, obviously, a little bit more to do, so it would be fantastic if anybody wanted to help.
Congratulations again on your receipt of the King's Award for Voluntary Service. Michelle Smith, team leader with the Champions Community Trust, thank you very much for talking to Friday Night Clive. That is your lot for this episode. You can catch the programme live every Friday night on Black Country Radio from 6:00 p.m. And if you like our podcast, please subscribe by heading to blackcountryradio.co.uk/podcasts or wherever you get your podcasts from. See you very soon. This is a Black Country Radio podcast presented by me, Clive Payne, and produced by Andy Caddick.